And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. Nice to have you here today. We have a lot of guests to chat with. A little bit later on the program, we're going to be talking about the upcoming Butler County Symphony Benefit. It's something new this year. It's an event patterned after Dancing with the Stars. So we'll find out all about that. We have some folks from the Symphony Board who will be with us a little bit later on the program. But first, we have three students here from Butler County Community College. They're all members of the Pioneer Players. That's the thespian group, the dramatic group on campus, and they're going to be presenting their spring show next weekend. So let's say hello to our guests. First of all, I'll go around the table here. William Lucas Franklin is here. Lucas, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thanks for having me.
Also here is Kiara Elder. Hi, Kiara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
And finally, Christian Sandrowski is here as well. Christian, good to have you with us.
Yeah, glad to be here.
So let me talk with Lucas first of all. What's the play that the Pioneer Players are going to be putting on stage?
Well, we are performing The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is a Victor Hugo book, or the play adaptation of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was actually written to talk about the cathedral because at one point it was old and run down and was going to be torn down, and the book was written specifically to go over the architecture and point out the beauty behind the architecture so that people would put the resources into saving it.
What an incredible coincidence that you would be, and obviously you've been rehearsing this for weeks and weeks and weeks. What an incredible coincidence that the Cathedral of Notre Dame caught fire a few days ago.
Oh, I know.
It's kind of scary, Kiara.
Yeah, it is. It's really heartbreaking knowing that it's such an amazing landmark, and people all over the world obviously know about it, and mm-hmm. it's so beautiful. And to see what's happened, especially ironically this week, and it's just really, really sad.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there will be some people who say, "Wow, why would they ever pick that show to do right after the cathedral burns?" Well, Christian, my goodness, it was picked months ago.
Yeah, it was. It just happened to be an odd coincidence, and it is quite unfortunate that it happened that way. But we're going to be dedicating our performance to just France and the Notre Dame Cathedral as well.
Excellent. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Cathedral of Notre Dame, by the way, is 850 years old. So even when Victor Hugo wrote his novel, it was old then. And the roof which burned, which was the main part of the structure that burned, was the original timbers.
Oh, wow.
850 years ago. Can you imagine how dry and what a tinderbox that roof was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I'm interested to find out. I'll ask all of you to talk about this a little bit. How you're staging The Hunchback of Notre Dame on the Suckup Theater stage. After all, you don't have any 200-foot bell towers there. How do you handle that, Lucas?
Well, what we have is more of a simplistic style of stage where it's essentially a series of platforms, and it's almost like a black box theater where the stage, what's on the stage, doesn't dictate where we are. Our movements and how we act in the setting is what dictates where we are. So it's a whole lot of suspension of disbelief. And I actually really enjoy working on a stage like that because there's not a whole lot of changing the scenes around. It's not one of those shows where you'll go there and you'll get bored because they spend half an hour changing the whole setting of everything. And
I agree with you. In fact, I think that's what live stage theater should be. You should ask the audience to use their imagination a little bit more. It's not a movie. Christian, if you want to see a movie, go see a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, there have been a number of film adaptations of this Victor Hugo novel. I had it as required reading when I was in high school. Anybody else still have it in the canon? Did you have to read this when you were in high school?
No.
Nope.
No.
It's a long book, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
The first movie that I know of, there may have been earlier ones, I don't think so, was in the late 1930s. In fact, I just looked up the date here when our guest came into the studio, 1939. And this was the film that had Charles Laughton as Quasimodo and a very, very young Maureen O'Hara as the heroine Esmeralda. Have any of you seen this film? It's an old black and white flick, 1939. It's on Turner Classic Movies every once in a while.
Right. I caught a couple glimpses of it a couple weeks ago on TV, and it was pretty old. But the acting, you see a lot of old, like, acting movies, but they were actually, they played the parts very well.
Yeah, it was pretty good. And there have been later films. In fact, you were telling me, Karen, I didn't know this, there was a Disney, like kind of an animated adaptation or something?
Yeah, I feel like more of our generation actually knows that more than,
I would guess so, yeah.
Yeah, than the Victor Hugo version. But yeah, it's a musical, and it's pretty good, actually.
Oh, it's a musical version. See, I never heard of that one, so that's okay. I can't imagine setting it to music, but I guess it can. But this is an animated cartoon type thing, huh?
Yeah, it is. Like our show isn't the musical, but every once in a while we will just be backstage singing the songs from the musical version because it has pretty solid music.
Well, it's not unprecedented. I've not seen that particular Disney film, but it's not unprecedented to take a literary classic and do that. Look at Les Mis. The most recent film adaptation of Les Mis was totally a musical. There were no spoken lines in it whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know? That was with, Hugh Jackman and Keira Knightley? Was she the one that...
I think so.
I can't remember. Yeah, I did not actually see it.
I know that Hugh Jackman's in it, but yeah. I don't know any of the other actors.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was totally a musical, which kind of took a lot of people by surprise, kind of like an operetta, you know. Well, let's pretend, and I'm sure there are some of our listeners who are not familiar, maybe never were familiar with the story of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, or maybe they need a little refresher course. So let's talk about that a little bit. Anybody want to give us a thumbnail sketch of the plot?
Oh.
Nobody volunteering here.
It's a very complex show where there's just like so many, like it's not one of those shows where it's like, okay, this one thing happens and it's all just this one thing. It's like this little thing happens and this little thing happens and eventually it like snowballs into the whole story. But I guess the most simple way I could put it is everyone is in love with Esmeralda. But she is a gypsy, and so Frollo, the lead antagonist, has like a love-hate relationship with her where he's like, I kind of love you and want to run away with you and marry you, but I also kind of want to have you executed.
Because you're supposedly a lower class than I am. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a hunchback, Quasimodo is the character's name, who's also secretly in love with Esmeralda.
Right.
Kiara, you play Esmeralda, right?
Yes, I do.
So who is she? Describe her a little bit for us.
She's kind of a very complex character. She's all over the place with, like they said, like all of the men in the cast and in the show are in love with her.
She's mesmerizing.
Right. Yeah. Her character is so dynamic. Each character she works with, she has sort of a different personality with, which is really cool for me to be able to portray that in different aspects and work in different ways with like my fellow co-cast members.
Mm-hmm.
But so her like attributes change a lot, which at moments is challenging, going from one scene to the next and having to completely change personalities as being Esmeralda, but at the same time, it's a blast because you get to be all kinds of different versions of her.
The novel, Victor Hugo's novel, was set back in the Middle Ages, in the 1400s or something like that. Is the stage version also in that time era, or doesn't it specify, Christian?
Yeah. It's around, I believe it's the late 1300s, and so we kind of stay around that time period as well.
Do you require costumes that would indicate that time era, or do we leave that to the imagination of the audience as well?
Yes, we actually do have costumes that do relate to that era, which is really good.
We actually love the costumes so much.
Yeah.
Every time we're asked to try on a costume, we get excited, and we refuse to take off that costume for at least half an hour.
I love my costume because it really helps me get into the character as well.
Well, sometimes when a classic story is adapted for modern times, they can change that too. I saw a stage adaptation of Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice at the Stratford Theater up in Canada a couple of years ago, and the entire cast was in tuxedos, which obviously Shakespeare didn't have back in his day.
Yeah.
Sometimes people do that, you know, when they're trying to change it around a little bit or make it different.
Yeah. I actually I saw a movie that was Macbeth, and they did it in, I think it was World War I, World War II era, which I thought was really interesting as well.
Yeah. It's done that way. Well, West Side Story is really just an adaptation of Romeo and Juliet, you know, when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually did discuss, whenever we first chose this show, the idea of possibly modernizing it. Part of the reason why we chose this show in the first place is because the way that it's set up, we could have really just done anything with it. We could have had super extravagant costumes. We could have just worn, like, whatever we had. We could have had a super extravagant stage. We could have just had, like, we could have taken it down to a single platform if we wanted to. So we were just excited that this would be a show where we'd be able to do exactly what we wanted to do and not really have to worry about what we'd be forced to do.
Yeah. What about show dates and times? When does this show go on the boards?
So this show is going on next week, the 25th, 26th, and 27th. On Thursday and Friday, so the 25th and the 26th, it's at 7:30 p.m., and then on Saturday it will be a matinee at 2 p.m.
So three performances altogether.
Yes.
Obviously, it's Suck Up Theater on the BC3 campus, and I assume that tickets will be available either in advance or at the box office the day or night of the performance.
Yes. The tickets for adults are $8, but for students it's $5. And you can either order them online through, we have a link on our Facebook page, or you could go through the BC3 website, or you could come to the box office and just pick them up there.
Is this a Facebook page of the Pioneer Players are you talking about?
Yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I can't imagine putting a show together like this so close to, you're pretty close to the end of the semester, are you not, Kiara?
Yeah, we are.
When's final exam week?
The week after the show.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be Saturday. We're going to close up. We're going to take off our costumes, and we're just going to go straight home and start studying.
Start booking, huh, for those final exams. Yeah. Most colleges these days wrap up in early, or certainly by mid-May at the very latest, and you usually have a week of exams prior to that. So, yeah, you'll close the show down and start taking finals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to audition for this show, Christian?
Yeah, we did. And the audition was a lot of fun, a lot of stress. But overall, I think we're all happy that who was cast did get cast in the roles that they did.
Now, you're playing the chief bad guy, right?
Yes, I am.
What's that character's name?
Frollo. Dom Claude Frollo.
And how is he villainous? Why is he considered a bad guy?
He's more of like a creepy style of character. So the way that he has that love-hate relationship with Esmeralda makes him a bad guy. Mm-hmm.
And Lucas, what about you? I forgot to ask what character you play.
I play Pierre Gringoire.
And who's Pierre?
He's sort of like the lead protagonist besides Quasimodo. Like, Quasimodo and I are the lead protagonists, but I'm sort of the opposite of Frollo. And in the show, he was actually my teacher before the events of the show.
Yeah.
So
are you also entranced by Esmeralda? I mean, your character.
Yes.
Obviously, in real life, you are.
Pierre spends a lot of the show sort of chasing after Esmeralda, even though Esmeralda's not too interested, but not nearly as creepy as Frollo.
Yeah.
Nothing. No one is really as creepy as Frollo is, actually.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the subplots in this complex drama? Obviously, it can't be nothing other than, you know, guys trying to romance Esmeralda.
There's just so much that we can talk about. For example, Pierre at the beginning of the show, he's trying to perform his own play, so it's sort of a play inside of a play, and then he gets interrupted by another character, Clopin, and so like there's sort of a thing between Pierre and Clopin where they don't like each other towards the beginning, and they sort of get into arguments a bit, and there's just a whole lot of stuff.
Many. Like I was saying before, especially like for Esmeralda, it's just different little sub things with each character that somehow in the end, like miraculously, all come together into one with each character she interacts with. So it's also cool to see the journey of how completely opposite characters end up coming together in the end. Hmm.
I've never seen a stage version of this. I know the novel, and I've seen the movie a few times, the Charles Laughton version, the old one. I've never seen the stage version. Are most of the scenes just with two or three people, or do you have other crowd scenes or something like that?
We have a lot of mob scenes, they've been our toughest scenes just because, like, there's so many people and on...
How to stage it, that's what I want to ask you at the very beginning, because in the film, the crowd, the mobs are all down in the plaza outside the front entrance to the Cathedral of Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, because we have all these platforms as our stage, it's really cool because we can have, like, sort of levels of where people are standing, so it's not just, like, a clump of people, it's like people all staggered but still close together, and it looks really cool whenever it's all together.
Who's directing the show?
Gabrielle Barton and Mike are directing the show.
Gabrielle's a student, right, at BC3?
Yes, she is.
I think the last production of Pioneer Players was an original play that she wrote.
Yeah,
it was. Yeah, she worked really hard on that, and she's working really hard on this one, too.
And Mike Beck is the assistant production manager at the Suckup Theater. I think he directs a lot of most of the Pioneer Player productions.
Yeah, he does a whole lot of it. Him and Larry Stock typically alternate, but for this show, Mike ended up directing again, so two times in a row. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Butler County Community College is a two-year school for most, although there are some students who go for certificates, and it's not that long. And there are others who go a little longer because they're taking courses from a four-year institution after they finish their first 2 years at BC3. So let's find out about that. First of all, you, Kiara, are you in your first or second year at BC3?
I am in my first year.
And where did you go to high school?
I went to Butler.
Mm-hmm. Did you do theater at when you were in high school,
yes.
Butler High?
Yes, I did.
Have you done any other theater other than the high school stuff?
I did like one or two shows with like Summer Dramatics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, but other than that, just basically high school shows.
Mm, well, that's great. A lot of young people get started with the Summer Dramatics program here in Butler, and they've been doing that for many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
What are you studying or in your first year at BC3? Don't you have to declare yet?
Yes, I am a communications major.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. What's your dream job?
First, I wanted to be like more of film production because I just love the idea of making and doing shows, whether it be film or on stage like I am. Mm-hmm. But now I think I'm heading more towards like a PR kind of standpoint now.
That's good. Well, mm-hmm. communications has evolved
a
great deal in the past couple of decades and will continue to do so, I'm sure.
Right.
Just as journalism have. My major in broadcast and print journalism have changed immensely. Most people that are going into journalism now are going into digital journalism. So, and the same with communications, mm-hmm. public relations.
Right. I think that's why I like communications so much, because it's so broad and mm-hmm. you can personalize it as much as you want and you have a lot of places to go with it.
I think career opportunities would abound in public relations. Well, good luck to you after you stay in that major.
Thank you.
What about you, Lucas? What are you studying? First of all, are you first year, second year?
Actually, I'm third year because I came to BC3 for psychology, and then I eventually switched over to cybersecurity because I realized that psychology wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going from studying someone's mind to computers is not many of the credits transferred over between majors, so I had to keep on going.
Well, I'm thinking, I'm not a college advisor by any means, but I'm thinking cybersecurity would hold the promise of a lot of job opportunities after you graduate. That's a big thing these days.
Yes. Actually, a big thing for me was the unemployment rates of the two majors. For mm-hmm. psychology, it's 20%. For cybersecurity, it's 0% unemployment. So I'm going to be...
Good choice.
Yeah, I'm going to be basically guaranteed a job.
Now, will you have to go on and get a four-year degree? Is that your plan?
Yeah, that's the plan at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you. And what about you, Christian? What are you studying?
So I am actually a guest student right now. I actually transferred in from another college, but then I'm going to be transferring from BC3, and I will end up declaring communications with a dramatic arts.
Have any idea where you're going to transfer to yet?
I'm thinking Tribeca Nazarene University. It's in Nashville, and it has a lot of opportunities in and around the campus for what I want to do.
Are you from this area, Christian?
Yes, I am.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Knock High School.
Did you do any stage work or theater work while you were in high school?
Yes, I did, and I continued it over to college at my last college as well.
Where was that?
That one was actually in Illinois. It's Olivet Nazarene University.
Oh, well, good for you. And Lucas, I forgot to ask you where you went to high school.
I went to Freeport. I grew up in Sarver.
Well, Freeport has a good theater department down there. Did you do any high school shows?
Yes. That's where I started theater. I started my freshman year as just stage crew, and then sophomore year I went into the actual acting part of it. Basically my story for getting into theater was there was a really cute girl who did theater, and so I was like, yeah, I'll do stage crew, and I just ended up falling in love with it.
Was her name Esmeralda by any chance?
No. Would have been a great coincidence.
Well, we've had a pretty big coincidence already with the
player
doing this show. In fact, I see on your poster here that you brought in, you've got one of the great rose windows.
Yeah.
The Cathedral of Notre Dame. There are three of them. On the west and the two western front where the towers are, and on the end of the two transepts, beautiful rose windows, which I understand survived the fire.
Oh, they did.
Perhaps they're damaged a little bit, but they didn't fall in or melt. I mean, when you looked at the video of that, I couldn't imagine anything inside surviving. You know, obviously the roof burned off and the the spire, which was wood, covered with lead, but that burned. But I mean, it looked like the whole thing was going to go up, and it turns out I mean, there's incredible damage, but the organ survived, and the stained glass windows, which, and you mentioned this, Kiara, how the importance of this cathedral to France, to the whole conscience of France. I mean, it's a church, yes, but it's an architectural gem. For many people, it's the epitome of Renaissance Gothic architecture.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's more than just a church. And you indicated that that's one of the reasons why Victor Hugo wrote the novel.
Yeah, like Lucas mentioned, like it's just such a beautiful building, and literally across nations, people love the cathedral, like bucket list worthy. Mm-hmm. And it's just really upsetting, but at the same time, amazing that hopefully it can be fixed, that things like are still standing, and it'll survive, hopefully.
Well, the president of France, President Macron, says it's going to be rebuilt in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Well, that would be a task. I think Paris is hosting the Olympic Games 5 years down the road, and he says it's going to be open for, you know, visitors who come for the Olympics. They can go to Notre Dame. It would take a heck of a lot of work. It took 200 years to build it originally.
Wow.
So to be able to complete all these repairs in 5 years, of course, when they built it, they didn't even have steam power, you know. It was all muscle power. Have any of you, the three of you, been to Paris?
No, mm-hmm. I've never been out of the country.
Do you, after doing this show, do you think you might want to go someday?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I want to be a traveler, and definitely Paris is in the books for me.
Well, having done this show, I can't imagine if you went to Paris, you wouldn't stop at the cathedral. Yeah. And hopefully it'll be repaired and open again by the time you do that. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, the stage adaptation of the classic Victor Hugo novel on stage at Suckup Theater at BC3. And Lucas, maybe you can review the dates and the times for our listeners who may not have been with us earlier.
Sure. This show is going on April 25th, 26th, and 27th. So next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Thursday and Friday is going to be at 7:30 p.m., and Saturday is going to be a matinee at 2 p.m. Tickets are $8 for adults and $5 for students. Okay. And you can pick them up there, or you can order them online.
Mm-hmm. You can. There's a link on your Facebook page, Pioneer Players Facebook page?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they'll be available at the box office as well any night or afternoon of the performance. This will certainly wrap up the Pioneer Players school year, since you've got finals week coming up right after that.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there's always next year, at least for you, Kiara.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Going to do another show next year?
I'm planning on it, yeah.
All right, good for you. Well, thanks for stopping down today. I know you're busy. We're getting ready for the... Do you have a holiday break at all this weekend, or you have classes, right? Regular classes?
We have a day off tomorrow, and then...
That's it.
Yeah, classes
back
are
to
back
it on Monday.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, good luck for the show, and thanks for stopping in today. It was nice to talk to all of you.
Nice talking
Thank
to you, too.
You.
Yeah, thanks.
William Lucas Franklin, who is Pierre, Kiara Elder, who is Esmeralda, and Christian Sandrowski, who is Frullo, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Frollo.
In... The Pioneer Players of Butler County Community College production of The Hunchback of Notre Dame next weekend, actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. Okay, we'll take a break. We're going to be talking about dancing with Butler County celebrities on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Oh, I want to remind you, too, that we have a book talk day coming up on Monday, Easter Monday. And the book we'll be discussing is Dead Girl Running, by Christina Dodd. So if you want to take a look at that book, or maybe you've already read it, tune in with us on Monday. We'll be discussing it on our regular monthly book talk day, Easter Monday. Okay, break. We'll be back to meet our next guest here on It's Your Turn on WISR after these words.
Are you experiencing chronic shoulder pain and want to learn more about possible solutions? Then join Dr. Robert Waltrip of Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers on Thursday, April 25th at 5:30 p.m. inside the Butler Memorial Hospital for a free program on understanding and addressing chronic shoulder pain. Refreshments will be provided, but seating is limited. To register, call 412-367-5812, extension 186. That's 412-367-5814, extension 186 by April 18th, and learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join them for breakfast any day of the week, including Sundays after church. Michael's also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more. This Sunday, come enjoy a traditional Easter dinner with ham and scalloped potatoes between 11:30 and 7 p.m.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
Marijuana. Thousands in Pennsylvania have pain and easily qualify for a medical marijuana card. Call 888-316-9085 and Compassionate Certification Centers will help. Visit cccregister.com. Does your chronic pain get so intense it affects your ability to go to work, perform basic tasks, or even get out of bed? Call 888-316-9085 today. Compassionate Certification Centers can connect you with certified doctors that can answer all your questions on medical marijuana.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. We welcome more guests to talk about an interesting event that is coming up next month in the month of May. It's called Dance with Butler County Celebrities. And we have guests here, first of all, from the Butler County Symphony Association. Let's say hello to Kathy Champagne, who is one of the co-chairs of the event. Kathy, nice to have you with us here today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Board member Judy Wadding is here. She is the chairperson of the Friends of the Symphony. Judy, good to see
you. Thank you. Good to see you.
And joining us by telephone is Lou Ann O'Brien. Lou Ann, can you hear us okay?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. All right. Lou Ann, what's your connection with this upcoming event?
Well, Dance with the Pittsburgh Celebrities was founded back in 2007, and Kathy and her group reached out to me to find out if they could do a similar event to benefit the Butler County Symphony Orchestra, and I was very excited to help them out, so that's why I'm here.
Well, Judy, when does this all take place here locally?
This is May the 11th. At the Butler Days Inn in the Crystal Ballroom.
Is that a weekend?
No, it's just Saturday
night.
Oh,
that's what I meant. I didn't know what day of the
week. Oh, yes, I'm sorry, yes.
So it's a Saturday at the Crystal Room, and this is patterned after the TV show that most folks are familiar
yes,
with?
It is.
Is that right, Kathy?
It is. Yeah? It is. We even have trophies like they have on the show, and we have 8 contestants. People from the community. Do you want to know?
Yes, please, if you've got a list.
We have Dr. Belouris, an ophthalmologist. We have Kevin Boozle, who is a Butler County commissioner. Kathy Glasgow, who's president of Butler County Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda Gold, who is an educator and teaches at McQuistion. Mike Manipole, who is a supervisor of Cranberry Township and also a teacher at Seneca Valley, Dr. Nick Newpower, the president of BC3, Leslie Oshie, a commissioner, and Tammy Shuey, who's assistant
at the Butler Eagle.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, I know most of those people.
Well, I hope you come. I hope you can come to our show.
Most of them have been here on the program at one time or another over the past few years.
Right.
Lou Ann, you started this, did you say, in Pittsburgh?
Yes, yes. It was started back in 2007 when a mom reached out to me who had a child with juvenile diabetes. And at that time, we were thinking we were going to just put on this, like, little show, get some ballroom, a professional ballroom dance instructor, and we were just going to do a fun little thing in a tiny room. And it ended up being over 350 people, literally people fighting for seats, sold out 3 months beforehand. So it just took on a mind of its own, and I think a big reason, quite honestly, is because it is so much fun to attend. Like, the people who come are there cheering on their friends, and it is just a really high-spirited evening, and it makes it a little bit different for a fundraiser.
Are there still tickets available, Judy Wadding, for
this
event?
Yes, they are.
Where could people get them?
Right now you can get them at the symphony office, and I think they're still available online. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. They can download the form on our website and send it in, or they can go into the office, the Butler Symphony office, which the address is 259 South Main Street.
It's on the Diamond downtown.
Yeah,
it
is.
Everybody knows where that
and,
is.
And David, who's our administrator, will be glad to take reservations.
We did have a deadline of April 25th for tickets, and that would be nice if we could have most people purchase their tickets by that time.
That's a week from today.
That's correct.
Right. Correct. Thursday, yes. Yeah. Correct.
Yes.
Well, that'll give you an idea of how many people are going to be there then.
Sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you pack the Crystal Room at
I hope
we do, too. We do, too.
You want to have enough room for a dance floor, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Luann, let me talk to you for a second. We know the people from here locally are going to be dancing. How did you come up with their dance partners? Because I'm assuming if we're following the format of the show that these are, if not professional dancers, at least people who know how to dance. Where do they come from?
Yes, you are absolutely correct. And we have a wonderful community of dancers who, for the most part, they donate a lot of time with their celebrities. They want them to look the best. And there are different dances. For example, we have someone doing a foxtrot, someone doing a merengue. We have somebody doing a West Coast swing, some cha-chas. So we try to make the dances be entertaining and costumes. They're all in costumes, and we have judges who will literally give comments on the dances and then hold up a paddle and give them a score. So it just makes it a lot of fun.
Are the judges going to remain anonymous? do we know who they are?
We know one of them.
We know one.
Tell them who the two fellas are, though, Kathy.
We have one celebrity judge in Mike Sloop, our sheriff.
Oh, yes, I know Mike. Yeah.
He had agreed to be. At first, I asked him to be a dancer, and he said no, he wasn't going to be able to do that. So, so then I asked him, would he be a judge, and he agreed to do that. So, and we have Bob Dandoy as our MC, also very well known in Butler. So. It's going to be a fun evening.
Here. And our other judge is Dave Kovach from Cranberry. Mm-hmm. So he's a judge. Mm-hmm. And then the third judge
is still, we have our feelers out to several of the television and radio ladies who have danced in our program before. And so they're all looking at their schedules, and they're going to let me know which one is available. But that's our goal. Is we always try to have one previous dancer, celebrity dancer, come back as a judge.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take a break. We'll talk more about this event coming up here on Saturday, May 11th, on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back in just a moment. Sponsors on the program today include Goin' Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do they do? They package your items for shipping. Simple as that. And it is really very, very convenient. You don't have to worry about finding the right size box or the bubble wrap or the special tape or any of that stuff. Just take your items to Goin' Postal Butler. They'll package it up for shipping. You may still ship any way you desire, whether it's U.S. Postal Service or UPS or FedEx or whatever. but they'll handle it for you from there. They also have copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox at Gone Postal Butler. There's even an official notary. Where are they? Just off Newcastle Road in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. Open Monday through Friday. Call Gone Postal Butler at 724-841-0044. One of our other sponsors is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, their thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart. It's spring cleaning season, right? Right? Just a reminder, if you've got stuff that you're going to be tossing after spring cleaning, consider donating those items to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul thrift store, whether it's clothing or shoes or furniture or household items. Those things will be for sale at the thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart to Route 8 South. And every penny of the proceeds from the operation of that store stays right here in Butler County. It helps to fund the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank and their client aid program. So think about it. You'll feel good. They're open Monday through Saturday at the thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Help us so we can help others. We're talking about the upcoming Dance with Butler County Celebrities. It's a fundraiser for the Butler County Symphony Orchestra. Let's talk a little bit, Judy Wadding, about rehearsal time. I mean, thank goodness we've got these well-known local individuals who have volunteered to help the symphony, but if you're talking about a merengue or a foxtrot or some of this stuff, you know, not a lot of people would know how to do that right off the bat.
That's right. I would not. Yeah. No, I think Luann probably could tell you a little bit more about rehearsal time because she tried to set everybody up with what would work best with their time. And they do go to different dance studios for rehearsal time.
Oh, really? Is that right, Luann? How did you? It must have been a logistical nightmare trying to set this schedule up then, huh?
It truly is. Honestly, if you ask anybody what's the most difficult part of being a part of this event, they never say dancing in front of people. What they say is trying to schedule enough time to practice. Mm-hmm. So you are correct. It's very challenging. The first thing I look at, believe it or not, is location. Make sure that the two people partnered together are living relatively close to where a practice convenient practice place can be. Another thing you may not have thought about is height, because we want to have in ballroom, you know, technically, there should be 3 inches of height difference between the fella and the lady. So we try to match that as close as possible. And then the other is the type of dance they want to do. So, for example, some of our instructors are very skilled at the Latin dances or West Coast swing. So I would not want to put them with somebody that says, hey, you know, I really want to do a waltz. So these are the factors we put together.
You mentioned West Coast swing. I must confess my ignorance. I have absolutely no idea, Luann, what you're talking about when you say West Coast swing. Can you describe that for me?
Yeah, it's a very sort of, I have to say, sexy, sultry swing where it's done in what we call a slot, S-L-O-T. So the dancers are like rubber bands going back and forth passing each other. And it is a form of swing. There are several forms of swing. There's East Coast swing, which is a triple step. There is single step. There is, we also have a Lindy Hop. And a Lindy Hop is another form of swing. So there's many, many types of swing dances.
I've heard of the Lindy Hop. I may even have tried it a time or two in a weaker moment. But that was named after Charles Lindbergh. You know, after he, soloed across the Atlantic Ocean in, 1937, 38,
now
something
it's
like that.
The Lindy Hop.
They named a dance after him.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
I only know that because I read a biography of Lindbergh some years ago. Waltz, I think most people would know waltz, you know.
Yes.
If you hear a waltz tempo, waltz is, three, four time, I believe. Yeah. Speaking of that, Luann, what do you use for music here? Do you have CD tracks or you have a live orchestra? How do you do this?
Okay, great question, actually. When you are dancing a routine, you really need, when you're teaching people who have never danced before, to be very predictable in the timing. So we do have a DJ. His name is Mark Boucher, and he has done many events with me, and he's wonderful. And we edit the music. Sometimes we have to slow things down a little bit, sometimes speed them up, depending on the skill of the celebrity. So these are all things we work with. So it will definitely be music that has been cut and edited for each particular celebrity.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is quite common in the, if you ever watched the figure skating in the Olympics, that's the way they do that for the figure skaters. It's, edited sometimes classical music for some of that, and sometimes it's a montage of different music. They do the same thing for women's gymnastics, you know, when they do those dance routines and so on and so forth. So I don't know how they do it on the TV show. Do they have a live orchestra there? Because I've not watched it.
I don't know.
Yeah, they do. They use a live orchestra, but it is well rehearsed with the orchestra.
I can imagine.
So, yeah, something that we wouldn't have the ability to do.
So, Luann, what about costumes? Because that's really a part of the appeal, isn't it, of the TV show, the incredible costumes? How did you handle that?
Yes. Well, we have collected over the years a number of costumes and shoes. I always make the joke that at the end of these events, most of the guys, celebrities, will walk up to me with their shoes and say, "Here, you can give these to the next poor person stuck doing it." But as far as the ladies go, some of them really, really want beautiful dresses, and they go online. Some of them, we have a lot of really gorgeous costumes in stock that other people have used. My costumes have been used for years and years. They've been worn by so many people, I can't even imagine counting. But we share costumes that way. But we do make the costume fit the dance. So in other words, people don't just come in something they would wear to go out dancing. They have a real costume on.
Lots of glitter and sparkle, I would imagine, eh?
Oh, yeah. I told one of the celebrities I'm dancing with is Mike Manifold, and he has a wonderful sense of humor. And so I said, "Mike, you know, we got to surprise everybody. We're not going to do something funny. We're going to do something really serious to shock everybody." So he's doing an amazing foxtrot in a tuxedo, and he's going the full row. I'll have a ball gown on. So that's what we do to make it enjoyable for the friends and family that are coming.
And he was one of the ones, when we asked him to dance, he said he did not even dance at his own wedding. And so we kind of wondered about what was going to happen there.
Maybe you could...
And I know he wouldn't feel bad if I told you that, yes, that is true. He has never danced a step in his life.
Might have to prime him with a couple of flutes of champagne at his wedding.
That's right.
To get him to dance a little bit. I was watching not too long ago, Luann, one of the classic Fred Astaire movies. Actually, it was one of the later ones with Rita Hayworth, not with Ginger Rogers.
Yeah.
But they were doing, and I'm not sure whether it was a waltz or I think it was a foxtrot. But Rita Hayworth had this long gown on with this, it was almost like a train, you know, in back of it.
Wow.
And the whole time I'm watching this sequence, I'm thinking, my gosh, how does she not trip on that, you know? Obviously, I've read that Fred Astaire demanded days, weeks of rehearsal sometimes. How many rehearsals did you schedule with the celebrity dancers, Luann?
Well, we always are very respectful of their time commitment. So we'll have some, quite honestly, that will say, okay, I can do maybe four lessons and that's it. And then we have some that are like three, four times a week. Like they really want to learn and do well. So it's totally up to them, and we leave that totally up to them.
And do they come to various dance studios, or where do the rehearsals take place?
Yes. Well, We try to find central locations. And, for example, with this event, a lot of my instructors are out in the eastern part of the city, like we're out in Murraysville. So we actually found a wonderful facility in Gibsonia, Anytime Fitness, that had a room, was willing to donate a key so that we could come and have it a central meeting place. But then there are times where I'll tell, like, and my husband, Joe, is also dancing in the event with Kathy Glasgow, will say, you know, we really need some mirrors. We really need you to make the trip out to the studio so that you can really see, you know, what it is that you look like and what you want your goals to be. And so we will just sort of try to be as flexible in that way as we can.
I was going to ask you if dance studios still have mirrors. When I was in undergraduate school, I had a class.
Yes.
It was not a dance class, but I had a class mm-hmm. in a theater, and it was in a studio, mm-hmm. and there were mirrors on all four walls.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it was so disconcerting to try to focus on class with, you know, everywhere you looked. It was like being in a fun house, you know?
I would not like that.
Yeah, it is. Most people are pretty freaked out with the mirrors, I'm going to be honest. But after a while, what you think you look like when you're dancing and what you see in the mirror are so very different sometimes that you grow dependent on them to be your guide.
You really need you're dancing.
Yeah.
And especially professional dancers. How long, Luann O'Brien, are the routines?
Well, we do keep it at a minimum, so the routines are have to be between 2 minutes and 3 minutes, because we like to keep things moving. Because one thing that we haven't mentioned that I think you should know is that the competition is actually just one small part of the evening.
Oh, really?
We have a huge party afterwards, where there's general dancing and the instructors are out there dancing with everybody, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, tell us about that a little bit. Yeah, so everybody can dance after the competition,
oh,
huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yes. That's the most fun part, to see everybody out there. Those of us that are dancing in the event, we remain in our costumes. We just dance and have fun with everybody.
Kathy's shaking her head here. I think she wants to do a merengue after it's all over.
She's ready to go. I'll be out there.
Tickets are still available for this event on Saturday, May 11th. I did not realize, Luann, that this was a full evening of entertainment in addition to the competition.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
And great.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, Kathy, right? There's dinner beforehand.
There is dinner. Doors open at 5 for hors d'oeuvres. Dinner will be served at 6, and competition will start, 7:15, 7:30?
Yep.
I didn't know there was a dinner either. So this is really a full evening.
Yes,
huh?
It is. And a little bit of history about it, David.
Yes,
many
Judy.
Years ago, if some of you will remember Ida Findlay.
Oh, yes.
She served on the symphony board. And this was an idea that she came up with, and nobody took hold of it until Kathy got hold of it. And then she decided it would be a really good thing to do. I'm not sure that she has spent the year. I think she's pretty frazzled at this point.
Well.
So with all the things she has to do. But it was done in memory of Ida Findlay.
I knew Ida. She was a guest on this program a few times.
Yes.
She was, at least I got the impression, she was a tremendous supporter of the Butler Symphony and
Absolutely.
The Symphony
Absolutely.
Board. She was a member of the board, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. And that's when she came up with this idea. But nobody ever took hold of it until Kathy found out about it. And then Kathy found Luann. So we've been, and it's going to benefit our educational outreach program.
I wanted to ask about that, because this is obviously a fundraiser for the Butler County Symphony.
Correct.
Earmarked Judy Wadding for specific things?
Well, and this was something that Kathy kind of talked about also. The parts of the symphony orchestra go into various elementary schools in the area,
mm-hmm.
introducing the children to the instruments of the orchestra, trying to keep the music programs alive in Butler. And the musicians do this of their own accord. And so we do have some expenses that we incur when we're transporting instruments, different things like that. Mm-hmm. So this is going to benefit the educational outreach program, and that was Kathy's idea as well.
Well, and we service over 3,000 students a year with this program in Butler County, which I think is noteworthy. And
I've talked with the musical director and conductor of the symphony, Matthew Kramer.
Yes.
And he's actually written curricula for this.
Yes.
Because he goes with the musicians as well.
Absolutely.
They have assemblies at the various schools around.
And I don't think many symphonies do this. I really don't try to keep music alive in our county.
Yeah. When they did it this past season, which, by the way, just ended.
Right.
The
70th
season. Yeah, 70th season. Matthew was on with me, and he said, I thought maybe it took two or three musicians. He said, we usually have about 15 symphony musicians who come to the assembly with their instruments, so it's a pretty big deal.
Yes.
It is. Well, that's wonderful. So that this event will help fund that then, huh?
Exactly. And most of the event is being managed by the Friends of the Symphony. We have some board members involved.
Well, tell me about the Friends of the Symphony, Judy. I know you're chairperson of that group. What's that?
It was probably about 4 or 5 years ago that we kind of saw a need for this. We had people who wanted to help the symphony orchestra and help keep the music alive, but they did not want to serve on a board. Mm-hmm. And so we designed Friends of the Symphony, and what we do is we take care of the house tour. We manage the 70th anniversary celebration that we had last September, and most of the Friends of the Symphony are involved in this particular fundraiser. Mm. So it's nice for people who don't want to have to attend a board meeting and do things like that.
Well, I know that the members of the Symphony Board do everything they can to keep the tickets for the symphony concerts as low as they can, and they are a real bargain.
Yes.
And they do have fundraisers to do that. So they want to make it affordable for not only adults, but for they have a wonderful student price for all of the concerts as well. Mm-hmm. It's expensive to mount a symphony season.
Yes.
There are all sorts of expenses for musicians, for music, mm-hmm. gotta buy music, and rentals, hall rentals and all that stuff. I have no idea what the budget is, but I know it's a big number.
Yes, it is. And our next season is already planned, already set to go, and have some nice information online about the 71st season.
Well, let me ask you, Luann, as we wrap up here today, you're going to be dancing too. Will we know you by your costume? Will you have a red rose in your hair or something like that, Luann?
Yes. I know for a fact that when I dance with Mike, I will be the only one there in a ball gown. Everyone else is wanting these, like, really kitschy, fast, you know, Latin type things. So, yes, that will definitely stand me out.
Luann, thanks for joining us. I know you're busy, and it's hard when we're on the phone with you, but we appreciate your time today. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Sure. So long now. I want to give her a chance to get off the air, but I did want to thank the two of you for being here in person today.
Thank you.
And the symphony is such a treasure, you know, for a community our size, the city of Butler County. And Matthew Kramer has told me about this. Matthew Kramer is, you know, he's involved in symphonies in other parts of the country.
He's wonderful.
He says for a place the size of Butler to have a symphony of the class that we have is pretty amazing.
It is.
Pretty amazing. Yep. So I applaud you for, Kathy, for taking this idea of the late Ida Findlay and bringing it to fruition. And Judy, as chair of the Friends of the Symphony, I applaud you as well.
Thank
this
you.
Should be
thank
a fun
thank
night.
Thank you very much.
Once again, tickets still available.
Yes.
For the Dance with Butler County Celebrities. The date is Saturday, May 11th. That'll be here before you know it. And it's at the Crystal Room at the Days Inn of Butler. And tickets are still available. And Judy, you said you can get them at the Symphony office. Is that right?
Yes, you can get them there. But you can still get them online until the 25th.
Until the 25th. Next Thursday.
Yes, you can still
get
them online.
ButlerSymphony.org, the regular website?
Right, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Kathy Glasgow is one of the chairs of Kathy Champagne, one of the chairs of this event. Kathy Glasgow is one of the dancers.
That's okay. Yeah. That's right.
I was reading from the wrong list here. Kathy Champagne. I know your better half, by the way.
Yes, I know. It seems everyone knows my better half.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Thank you.
And also with us is Judy Wadding, chair of the Friends
and
of the Symphony.
And I just did want to say the other two co-chairs are Maxine Rapp and Terry Steichner.
Oh,
so the three of us
do it together.
We do it together. So thank you.
Coming up on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn tomorrow, we'll be talking with Amy Metrick from Penn State Extension, and the CB Rangers will be here on tomorrow's program as well. We have another message or two, and then we'll wrap up today's show.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Springtime is finally here, so get to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. Potatoes, onion bulbs, shallots, and garlic are all in stock. Chickens, ducks, and turkeys will be arriving the week of April 8th. Plus, asparagus, horseradish, and rhubarb roots will be in. Blueberries, raspberries, grapes, and much more will also be available. Stock up on lawn supplies like grass seed, lime, fertilizer, and Bonite crabgrass preventer. Decorate outside with hummingbird and oriole feeders. Eliminate pests with Bonite dormant oil and fruit tree sprays. Also, protect your dog with Salvo flea and tick collars. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Just a reminder, coming up on the Monday edition of It's Your Turn, it's a book talk day. The book we'll be discussing is Dead Girl.